Let's say hello now to Phil Morris.
You there?
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. How you doing?
It took a while to get you on here. I don't know what happened, but it's okay.
We're there now.
How you doing?
I'm really, really well.
You, you took a character from Seinfeld there and turned it into National Rage.
Yeah, I got a career out of that. Jackie Childs is just a wonderful character. He's very flamboyant, I think. I think people were ready to laugh at that whole Johnny Cochran, O.J. Simpson fiasco, and gave him a chance to do that.
I think it's interesting to note a lot of people don't even know that it's you, the same person doing you. That's
yeah, I like that. It's quite the compliment. That gives me a chance to walk the streets relatively worry-free.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, because now what did they do to you to kind of make you up to that thing, and how did they how did you prepare for that role?
Well, it's pretty simple, actually. I went in an audition, just like a few other actors, and in the breakdown, which is the description of the character when you go into audition, they wanted someone to imitate Johnny Cochran, legitimately.
Yeah.
And, or not legitimately, comedically.
Yeah.
And I just went in and had a take on it that they loved, and, you know, we put the glasses and the mustache on after the fact, and basically, that's all I wear is a pair of oversized glasses and a mustache that isn't mine.
Give us a little bit about his voice and his actions.
Oh, you mean Attorney Child? He's got all kinds of flips and mm-hmms and little huhs. And I mean, this is a guy who can slay you with just a mm-hmm.
I got to tell you that that character is great, but. You know, one of the greatest things about Seinfeld was that show. The first one, I think it was might have been the one they introduced him in, with the coffee episode with Kramer.
Yeah, that was the inaugural episode.
That was so funny. I still think a lot about it and laugh. I mean, it was. You must have enjoyed just the fact that the writing that they made for that character.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David, obviously two comedic geniuses, and they're very bright guys, and I was very honored to play this character that they wrote for me. It's like the last episode with that crazy opening incendiary argument is very much the Larry David mindset. And so it was a pleasure to try and wrap myself around those words.
I think it's interesting to note that I've seen you doing commercials with that character. You've actually made a whole little industry of it.
Cottage industry out of Jackie.
Yeah, which is kind of cool.
Can't pick it, you know, who knows what's going to really resonate with the audience, and then this is just one of those energies that did.
We're talking with Phil Morris. Now, Phil, you grew up around showbiz. Your dad, of course, Greg Morris from Mission Impossible, became a huge superstar on TV. What was it like to grow up around that and to you know some of the folks he knew and grew up in that whole atmosphere?
It was a really tremendous time. I thank my father every day. He's passed on a few years now, but for his influence and growing up in a household where creative people were always in and out, and my father was one of the groundbreakers of my culture in this business, and it was just a tremendous opportunity to grow up in a household with that type of father figure. You know, he was just a great support.
You actually had a big break on screen because of Dad getting hurt or something. Wasn't there was a film like Comtech 303?
You have done your homework, Mike.
And if I remember correctly, Billy Dee Williams and Henry Fonda were in it.
Yes, they were the leads, along with my father. And I think I was 17 years old at the time. It was a summer job for me. And I was a production assistant on the movie that really never got released, never got finished.
Mm.
So don't go rent it because it's not out there. And my father fell down a flight of stairs, unfortunately, one evening. And this was early on in the shoot, and they weren't sure that they could continue principal photography with him laid up. So they came to me and asked me if I would replace him, and I was 17 years old. You know? And I was totally thrown and had no idea what to do. Like a really long story short, my father got better. They gave me a smaller role in the movie, and that really kind of cut my teeth.
You've actually been involved in soap operas and stuff too, right?
Yeah, I did 2 years on Young and the Restless, which was, again, I mean, we're going to talk, and I'm going to say it was fabulous, because every experience I've had just about has been tremendous, and Young and the Restless was no exception. I did 2 years on a daytime circuit.
Yeah, you did Young and the Restless. You also did, that was actually, you played Robert Tyrone on that.
Yeah, I actually went undercover. I came on the show as a kind of a law student guy, and then went undercover for the police in three different guises. One was as a jazz musician, one was as a drug dealer, and the last one was as a white person.
Really?
So, but don't know, I'm black. So
that would really be undercover then.
Quite the character role, yeah.
That's funny. You know, I noticed in your bio that you actually were on Melrose Place, which happens to be, used to be, and it's not on anymore, unfortunately, my favorite show. What did you do on the show?
Well, when Chad Lowe was on, Rob's brother,
mm-hmm.
He did 8 episodes, and I did them with him, with Sydney, Laura Layton, where Chad played a billionaire computer wizard, and he's romancing her, and I play his second. And I'm kind of the guy you don't know if I'm a good guy or a bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm always kind of skulking in the shadows and trying to get her out of the picture because I think that she's taking my guy off his game. Yeah,
I remember that character now. Wow.
Polluted.
Was that a fun show to record?
Oh, yeah, it was great.
It was fun to watch.
Well, they were great to work with. I mean, it's kind of like Seinfeld in that there was a great ensemble. They had been doing it for a long time. So when you came into the show, you were immediately welcome. They didn't feel any threat from you. They wanted you to be the best you could be, and they were really wonderful playmates.
Mm. It's interesting because I always wondered what it would be like to work with people like Heather Locklear and Josie Bissett. They're some of the most beautiful women on TV in that show.
Oh yeah, but they're really consummate actors. I just did an episode of 90210.
Ah, another one of my favorite shows.
Playing opposite Jenny Garth. And once again, you know, she's a lovely girl and just a very talented young actress. And I don't know how Mr. Spelling does it, but he does it. He finds these talented young people and gives them a great platform for them to shine.
What were you playing on that show?
It'll be the first episode of the new season coming up, and I play a detective.
A detective?
Yes.
What crime were you going to solve?
A murder. The crime of murder.
Who died?
In the first degree.
Do we know who died?
It's a carryover from last year's final episode.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. I remember that now. I don't remember the character.
So we picked right up where that left off, and I'm the detective investigating the case.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Well, you are going to be seen so much on TV. You're going to be bigger than Greg Morris.
No! One can only hope.
And, of course, you know, that doesn't even to mention the fact that you are now hosting a show called You Asked For It, Sundays from 8 to 9 on NBC.
This is a real thrill for me.
Tell me a little bit about the show. It's been on before, and this is a new, updated version.
Right, this is exactly a new version. It is a 50th anniversary of the old show, You Asked For It. And, you know, basically what You Asked For It was a chance for the audience to do a little bit of programming. You know, we're actually asking the audience to program our show for us every week. In so much as we want you to write in, we want you to email with your request of the things in the world that you would love to see. In your heart of hearts, what would you love to see? And then when you email us or you write us, you know, our staff goes through it very diligently and they pick the most interesting requests and then go all over the world, try and capture them, and then bring them back, and then I host the show and try and show them to you.
Hmm. How'd you get selected for that? That's an interesting selection.
Yeah, well, I'm really trying to be diverse in my career right now. Just be a comedic actor or a dramatic actor, but just, you know, an entertainer. And Bruce Nash and Don Weiner came to me and asked if I would host this show. And I'm looking for that diversity in my career. And I love reality shows. So I'm a perfect audience for it. And as the host, I'm trying to bring that flavor into what I'm doing so that I'm not just furniture, you know.
Mm.
And when we spoke about it in the meeting room, they were very much supportive of that page that I had on it. And I just, it was a tough job not to do.
Are they going to let you do a little Jackie Chiles on there?
Well, if you watch closely, every so often when I have a little aside or I come back out of the wraparound, you will see me give a little tilt of the head or a cock of the eyebrow or something that will tip you off that, yes, this is indeed the same actor who does Jackie Chan.
Because I remember in the early 80s, Rich Little did this show.
Right. Right, he did. I think that the difference there is, again, Rich is more of a comedian than just a kind of a personality. And I'm not. You know, Rich was involved with doing imitations and telling jokes. And I'm not that kind of a personality. So you're going to get more fun stuff than boom, boom, joke set up. Yeah.
I can't wait to see how the thing develops. I assume that that show's going to really take off.
Oh, I sure hope so. The second week was a really strong week. I think word of mouth is going to keep us alive.
Mm. You know, talking about this, since you played Jackie Childs on Seinfeld, and it was a impression of Johnny Cochran, do you know that there's a new OJ website address?
No, I don't.
It's //escape.
Now, that's a good one.
Yeah, that came off the internet today.
That's a good one. I'll be stealing that one.
You can steal that all you like, because I stole it from the internet.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I get all this email to me on a daily basis. Are you on the internet, Bill?
I am.
Yeah, do you have an email address that you can give out?
Not at this point.
Unlisted email.
An unlisted email address.
Are you on AOL or somewhere else?
I'm on Earthlink.
Ah, I'm an AOL kind of guy.
Yeah, well.
That's kind of fun.
It's a big wild world, enough room for all of us.
You know, I see you also did Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Living Single, and Martin.
Yes.
Which brings me to a question that has come up this year about TV and diversity on TV and the opportunities for African-American actors. It certainly seems like you're working enough, but in general, there doesn't seem to be as much opportunity this year for a lot of African-Americans.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think one of the reasons for that is just the complexion of the producers.
Mm.
You know, like with Seinfeld, right, Jerry was taken to task many times about not having a balanced representation on his show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jerry Seinfeld is kind of a New York Jew. That's his voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's his observation. That's how he sees the world. You know, it doesn't necessarily encompass, you know, Asians from the Pacific Rim. So it's really about voice. And I think that when we have more black producers, more black directors, more black writers that are accepted, then that voice will come to the forefront, and then you will see those representations on screen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's almost disingenuous of certain producers to enforce a certain black type in their show when they really don't have the voice to speak to that character.
You know what I think, Phil? At least it just comes to mind to me. When Fox Network started, they had things like Living Single and they had In Living Color, all these different shows that appealed to a black audience. They did the same thing when UPN started, when WB started, and as soon as they become established, they go away from that and they go to something else.
Yeah, you know, again, it's a matter of who they're making their deals with. You know, like with Living Single, Yvette Lee Bowser was a wonderful producer. You know, of course, Keenan Ivory Wayans with Living
mm-hmm.
Living Color.
Yeah.
So the more that you maintain your relationship with these creators, you don't go away to the main, with the quote-unquote mainstream, you will engender incredible will with your urban audiences and your minority base, and these shows will ultimately cross, quote unquote, cross over.
Mm.
You know, and it's like we're really trying to develop Jackie into a show, and that's the kind of answer that the networks need to give to the people that are the naysayers who are saying, you know, you aren't having any representation. Put characters that the audience wants to see on the air, and you will douse those critics.
You just mentioned something that many people have asked me to ask you when they heard you were coming on today. What's going on with the sitcom deal?
Well, we're in the process of making one.
Mm.
So it is early on in the development stage. But, you know, I would say that the people who love Jackie are going to get a little bit more of Jackie.
You know what I was thinking? This is combining the fact that Jackie is a funny character, but also with your background in martial arts, they could do a lot on that end. They could make Jackie like a kind of a funny superhero type of thing.
Well, I think that's going to be a little complex.
Well, I mean, an attorney who can also, you know, kick your rear end if he needs to, and make you laugh.
Attorney.
Tough guy attorney.
Jackie Chow Chan.
There you go. Jackie Chow.
Yeah,
what kind of martial arts?
In the feature world, to combine my martial arts pursuit and my theatrical talent, I think Jackie's going to have his hands full enough of clients and all kinds of mayhem.
What kind of martial arts do you take?
I teach and study a system called Wing Chun Kung Fu. It's a Chinese system, and I found a wonderful master out here in L.A. I've been studying with him for about 12 years.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think Kung Fu is great. I studied at a brown belt in Kung Fu. My son is a purple belt now. He's only 8. But I think it's a wonderful thing to... Martial arts, anyway,
yes,
is something I think is very valuable for all people. for discipline and many other reasons.
It served my career. It served me as a human being immeasurably, as a husband, as a father, as an actor. You know, it really is spiritual nutrition.
Mm. Good stuff. And Phil Morris, we can see him every week, Sundays at 8 o'clock on NBC, and again on 90210, one of my favorite shows on Fox, the first episode. Phil Morris will be on there too, I'm sure. Where else are we going to see you? Everywhere else?
Oh, you're going to see me. I'm going to be a rash. I'm actually doing a two-part season opener for Moesha.
Wow.
EPN. And I don't want to bore you. Everything's going so well.
She's a great talent herself.
She's a wonderful girl. Yeah. Gosh, I have nothing but high praise for Brandi Norwood.
She can do anything.
And she's such a sweetheart. I brought my daughter down, and, you know, my daughter just flipped.
How old is your daughter?
She's 10.
Ah.
Lit to meet Brandi. And Brandi couldn't have been nicer and just was so gracious to her. And this is like big sister, little sister.
Is your wife in the biz, Phil?
No, she is. Thank goodness, no.
That's good.
Yeah.
So they have a little bit of centering there in L.A.
A little bit of sanity.
Yeah. All right, Phil. Thanks so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Phil Morris, a.k.a. Jackie Childs on